Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
An Erio's original.
Hello and welcome to Web Crawlers, the podcast where we do a deep dive into some of our favorite unsolved mysteries. Each week we will introduce, well, they're not all unsolved. Each week we will introduce our topic, lay out our research and findings, reveal some conspiracy theories, and conclude with our own hypothesis. I am Allie Siegel.
I am Melissa Stettin.
And I'm producer Maria.
Who was 15 minutes late because she was outside digging a ditch.
True story.
True story.
We had to call her and she said, so sorry, I've been outside digging a ditch.
And it wasn't that I forgot that we were recording. I just thought we were recording later in the day because there was one time we did.
Yeah, she said, don't we record at 11:30? And we said, no, Maria, we've been recording at 11 a.m., Over Sunday for a year.
Yeah. It's been over this a year at this scary. Point.
It gets scary, doesn't it? Because then you, because imagine this. Imagine like there was a murder and I got like called in to like be interrogated. And they were like, well, what time do you record Web Crawlers? And I would have been like, every week we record Web Crawlers at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday. And they would have been like, you do. So,
Your alibi would be wrong.
It would be so wrong. And they'd be like, you're lying. Because Melissa and Allie both said that you're well aware that you record at 11 a.m. every week.
This is why people are bad witnesses.
Well, 100%. You know, Anna Nicole Smith was on the stand about her getting money from her husband who passed away. And she kept saying, they kept like drilling her about dates. And she kept being like, I don't remember anything. I don't remember dates. I don't remember times. Like, stop asking me. Yeah. And that's why, that's how I would be. They talked about that in the documentary. She kept being like, I literally don't remember dates and times. Like, I have amnesia. So on that subject, like, I have time blackouts. So don't, like, say that. Not literally, but, like, I'm the same way. I have no idea about dates, times.
No.
I can't.
No idea what I did last week. No idea.
No.
No, if you asked me what I did, like, on Thursday, it would take me, like, 3 hours to kind of compose myself and be like, let me really figure this out.
When I go to the neurologist I have to go like every year for my epilepsy checkup, and he does this check for my brain where he's like, what'd you have for breakfast 2 days ago? Like, name 50 animals that you'd find in the zoo.
50?
50?
Well, or he'll, no, you know,
Jesus
what he'll do?
Christ. Like,
no, he'll be like, I'm going to time you for a minute. Name all the animals you can in the zoo. Like, who's the vice president? Like, who was the president 2 presidents ago? And no joke, I cry every time because I'm like, can normal people do this? Like, I'm having a nervous breakdown. I don't know. Or he'll be like, what do you wear yesterday?
When you're like on the spot. Oh, what did you wear? Probably sweatpants. Yeah. I don't know.
Whatever. This is probably the same thing I'm wearing right now.
Yeah. You're looking at it, doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I don't think this is a brain thing. I think this is an everyone thing.
That's a me thing.
Anyways, yeah, that's a me thing. Melissa, who are our patrons this week?
We have Sierra, Kimberly, Diana, and Ashley.
Ooh.
Sounds like a band. Like a
it does.
Pop band.
Anyways, Melissa, what is our episode for today?
Okay, today is actually an unsolved mystery.
Ooh, la,
hell yeah,
la.
I was right in the beginning.
You were. Okay, so Joshua Maddox went missing after leaving his home in Colorado to go for a walk in 2008. He remained missing for 7 years until his body was found in the chimney of an abandoned cabin 2 blocks from his house.
Okay, Santa.
Yeah. The coroner ruled it an accidental death, but the odd details surrounding the case will make you wonder if foul play was involved. Did someone get away with murder?
Ooh.
Let's get into it. So Joshua Maddox was born on March 9th, 1990.
That's my birthday.
I know.
Whoa, except I'm 86.
Damn. And he lived in Woodland Park, Colorado. He did really well in school. He was a musician and a writer. And he played the guitar. And he was like really well liked. He was like a fun, nice dude. And his parents divorced. And he lived with his father and his 2 sisters, Kate and Ruth. And in 2006, his 18-year-old brother, Zachary, died by suicide after battling depression. So that might be important to know. Okay. So on March 8th, 2008, one day before his birthday, 18-year-old Joshua left his home to go for a walk. He was like a big fan of nature and he went out hiking alone, but he didn't come home that night. So his family was really concerned and they contacted his friends and they searched homeless shelters and campgrounds, but they couldn't find him. And because he had just turned 18, his family considered the possibility of him having started a new life elsewhere. Like maybe he just got up and left. But when they didn't hear from him 5 days later, they reported him missing.
Huh.
Also, they wondered if his brother Zachary's death had anything to do with his disappearance because it was the 2-year anniversary of his suicide and Zachary was also 18 when he killed himself. So it was like a weird anniversary. But everyone said Joshua seemed totally happy and normal in the weeks leading up to his disappearance, and 7 years went by without hearing anything from Joshua. And his sister Kate had always hoped that he simply just like skipped town to go play music or start a different life. And she wrote this in a blog online. She said, since Josh was 18, it had been reasonable to assume he may have decided to leave town to start a new life. As one of his 2 older sisters, I've always chosen to believe that this was the case. I have expected Josh to return home to my father's house at any time with a wife and small children so they can meet their grandparents and 2 aunts. Josh has always been known for his musical and literary talent. So maybe we would find him playing music with a band on tour, or catch him writing successful novels under a pen name so that he could keep his preferred lifestyle of solitude in the woods.
Huh.
So his father, Mike, kept ownership of the family home even after they moved, just in case Joshua would ever return.
Oh.
Because that would be the only place he would have known to go, which is so
sad. Heartbreaking. Yeah. Yeah.
So no updates about Joshua were heard until 2015, when a neighbor who was demolishing their home made a very grim discovery. So 2 blocks from the Maddox's home, this guy named Chuck Murphy bought a cabin back in the 1950s. And it had been previously known as the Thunderhead Branch, which was like this infamous drinking and dining establishment owned by Big Bert Bergstrom.
Oh boy.
Big Bert. Big Bert's Thunderhead Branch. So Bert had come to America from Sweden in 1912.
I bet you 100% that Big Bert was actually very tiny.
I bet a cute little Swedish man.
You know what I mean? Like people
Hello,
who
Big
have
Bert
nicknames,
Bergstrom.
It's always the opposite. Like Big That's Bert's funny. Like 5 feet tall.
Yeah. That's why they called me Ugly Maria, because I'm so cool.
No,
that's Maria, why that's everyone not... calls me ugly.
Yeah, Maria, that's why. That's definitely why. So, Big Bert Bergstrom, he ran the Thunderhead Inn as a dining and drinking establishment after the end of Prohibition. However, he used the ranch as an illegal gambling den and was rumored to offer prostitution.
Ooh.
He was arrested by the FBI, but the jury, full of people who weren't narcs, found him not guilty. They were like, fuck you, that's cool. Gambling's cool. So anyway, Chuck's brother had lived in the cabin until 2005. And after he moved out, it became sort of like a storage facility with no one living in it.
Huh.
But it was like really old and needed repair. So it just kind of like sat there for like many years. And Chuck rarely visited it. But on August 6, 2015, after the cabin was basically empty for 10 years, Chuck decided to demolish it so he could like redevelop the property and resell it. And while the excavator was tearing down the chimney, a mummified body was found.
Oh, God.
Questions, questions, questions. Boy, do I have questions.
This is like very Elisa Lam-like, kind of.
Yes. So the body was in a fetal position with its legs above its head.
Legs above its head. Okay.
So dental records were compared with Joshua's and the remains were identified as Joshua Maddox. He was less than a mile from his home this entire time.
Oh.
And according to autopsy results, Joshua had no drugs in his system and his body had no sign of trauma. The county coroner, Al Bourne, said, quote, the hard tissue showed no signs of trauma. There were no broken bones, no knife marks. There were no bullet holes. There are no answers to a number of things. It's very confusing.
Sounds like a riddle almost.
Yeah. And what has no bullet holes, no knife marks?
And is in a fetal position in a chimney.
Can I be honest? So far, it doesn't seem confusing to me. It seems to me like he wanted, well, I guess that's not true. Because why, if he wanted to break into this cabin, why wouldn't he just go through the door or a window?
Exactly.
Okay, because I was like, okay, he was just, because my brain was like, okay, he was just trying to break into the cabin and he got stuck in the chimney and died. But why wouldn't he just go through a window or a door? Mm-hmm. Okay, never mind. I'm still invested. Death.
If he died inside that chimney, like assuming he didn't die outside of it and then got put in it, but if he died inside that chimney, that's the most horrible death.
It's like being buried alive. Yeah. It's horrible. Yeah. Suffocating and claustrophobic. Awful.
Yeah.
So the coroner stated that his death had not been instant. He most likely died of dehydration, which can take a few days, or hypothermia, which could take a day or two. And they ruled it as accidental because the temperature was about 21 degrees Fahrenheit. It was freezing out. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
So the coroner's theory was that Joshua, who was 6 feet tall and 150 pounds, had tried to climb down the chimney and got stuck, which meant that no one could probably hear his yelling.
So would he have gone in like butt first? Is that how he would have ended up in the fetal position, do you think? If he like went in the chimney butt
like,
first?
Like squeezing?
Or he could have gone in like head first and then at one point like got stuck or something and tried to maneuver himself.
My God, this is horrific.
Yeah.
This is horrific.
So however, Chuck Murphy, the owner of the cabin, he doesn't think it was an accident. He thinks someone stuffed Joshua inside the chimney.
Oof.
And if this is the case, that would have likely taken two people in order to position Joshua the way he was found.
Yeah.
Also, Joshua would have had to enter the chimney head first.
Oh. Wow, I'm like a CSI person.
Yeah, you're a CSI person. An investigator.
Allie Siegel, CSI person.
This is my badge, CSI person.
CSI person. So there are three main reasons why most people believe foul play is involved. So first, Chuck said the chimney had been fitted with a steel rebar, a large, thick wire mesh hung from steel hooks used to keep raccoons and debris from becoming lodged inside the chimney or from entering the cabin itself. Like he claimed that he put steel bars on top of the chimney to stop raccoons from getting in. This is what he claimed. However, when the body was found, the cabin was a construction zone. So if there was a rebar, it had already been demolished and taken away. So there's no way to know if there was, in fact, a rebar there. Like, Chuck was like, I put a rebar there. But the people who demolished it were like, I don't know. We don't know if we saw one because we, like, just demolished it.
there's that Maria investigation, like, are you sure you put a rebar yeah. on? Well, I think I did, but now I don't know.
Totally.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah.
It's like, is my straightener still plugged in? I can't remember. I have to go back to the house. You know, it's like, you never yeah. really know with these things.
You never really know if your straightener's you still plugged in.
Yeah.
Second, a large wooden breakfast bar was ripped from a wall in the kitchen and dragged over to block the chimney from inside the cabin.
What?
So that's weird. Like a cabinet or like a breakfast bar was moved from the kitchen and put in front of the chimney, like the opening of the chimney.
What?
So why would someone do that? And then third, Joshua had only been wearing a thermal shirt when he was found. The rest of his clothes, including his socks and shoes, were inside the cabin beside the fireplace.
Oh my God, this is like more like a Lisa Lamb, like clothes off, oh my like God, stuffed yeah. in like a stuffed like container. What is going
so,
on?
So like, why would he take his clothes off, go outside, climb onto the house and go down the chimney? What? He was only wearing a thermal shirt. Or he took his clothes off while he was stuck in the chimney and threw them down.
Where were they found in the cabin? Where were the clothes in the cabin?
It says they were found next to the fireplace.
Okay.
But there are differing accounts. Some say they were found like on the ground next to it. And then I read somewhere that was like they were folded up on a chair next to the fireplace. But I've read two different accounts where like...
I have a question.
Yes.
What if he went through the house through a door or a window and he's in the house? And then he hears someone coming into the cabin and he's like, I don't want anyone to know I broke in here. And so then he tries to climb up the chimney to get out. But then he gets stuck in the chimney or something.
Yeah, that's possible.
I mean, I don't know.
So meanwhile, the police had been receiving tips from people who claimed to know of a person who allegedly bragged about killing Joshua.
Oh, no.
Although the police ignored the tip at the time, one of those tipsters wrote a Reddit post explaining who their suspect was. This is crazy. This was posted on Reddit like 4 years ago. It says, I went to high school with this skinny, dorky hippie named Andy who played guitar in a band. I was never good friends with him or anything, but a year or so after I graduated, one of my good friends, Josh, started hanging out with him and then went missing. Turns out that in addition to becoming a lot scarier looking, Andy had indeed headed down to New Mexico, where he found himself shooting the shit with the caretaker of a disabled guy and got invited over to their apartment. The caretaker gets in the shower, and when he comes back out, the disabled guy is stabbed to death and Andy's gone.
Oh, God.
And so when Andy got arrested, he also claimed to have killed a woman in Tao and stuffed her body in a barrel. And so the cops had indeed found a woman stuffed in a barrel, but already had somebody in custody for it and decided to stick with that guy instead.
Oh my God, cops are such motherfuckers.
Not all of them, listeners.
Not all cops. Yeah.
The caretaker had died in a bar fight, and without him, the cops didn't have much in the way of evidence somehow, so that case against Andy was dropped too. Like, the caretaker was like, yeah, I invited this guy Andy, and he stabbed the person I was taking care of and just left. He also said, several of us went to the cops saying, yo, Josh went missing. He was last seen with Andy, who's a murderer. Maybe you should check that out. And despite a fair amount of pestering, nothing ever really came of it. And by nothing, I mean the police mostly didn't even return our calls.
Well, it's interesting that he killed this woman and then stuffed her in a barrel.
Exactly. Right.
And then Joshua was found stuffed in another confined space. What I've learned from watching Criminal Minds is that serial killers...
Patterns.
Or repeat killers have a pattern or something that kind of like is their signature. And that seems to be his signature.
Yeah.
They love patterns. They love like a good houndstooth.
Yes.
Paisley.
A floral zebra print.
They love cheetah prints so much.
Yes. Any pattern.
People called in to report having heard rumors that Andy was bragging about having, quote, put Josh in a hole. This Andy kid was like bragging about this. Somebody had ripped a heavy bar off the wall in the kitchen and propped it against the fireplace. Or the fact that Josh's stuff was already inside the cabin, meaning A, he'd already broken in and would have had to lock himself out to have to go through the chimney. And B, he might have noticed that either the flue or the big bar would have prevented it from getting in through the fireplace. Or the fact that when he was found, Josh's knees were above his head, which sounds like he would have to go in head first.
Yeah.
Or maybe the fact that Josh was barefoot and naked from the waist down. This is just my opinion, but I don't care who you are. You don't try to climb head first into a chimney via a hole rusted through a metal grate with your dick hanging out. As far as I can tell.
True.
Nobody even bothered to call Andy to ask if he knew anything. By the way, from what I hear, Andy's still out and about doing his thing when he's not in the mental hospital. This kid Andy's still out there. All I'm saying is I wish they'd done some police shit, open an investigation, try to track down some leads, interview some of the folks we've been calling tips for the last 7 years, maybe check for some semen or something. I don't know. Just don't say accidental, dust off your hands, and call it a day. So that was on Reddit.
Let's take a small break for announcements. Web Crawlers has a Patreon to get access to rewards, bonus episodes, shout outs, video episodes a day early, ad free episodes, and more. Please go to patreon.com/webcrawlers. You can donate for as little as $2 a month or just do a flat fee of like $30 and you're a patron for the year. That's like one meal. Also, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We will read your review on the show. And Erios has a hotline. Insert jingle here.
626-604-6262.
Erios.
Please call us. We are obsessed with your voicemails. And as usual, we will play them on the mini episode.
Wait, we need our P.O. Box jingle.
Oh my God. Oh. We have a P.O. Box. Send your stuff to Web Crawlers, P.O. Box 48737. Los Angeles, California, 90048.
We got to check that this week and see if we have any
stuff. I tried
stuff.
To check it on Friday, but the key didn't work. So they said it would take a week for them to switch out the lock, and it's been over a week, and I just didn't want to deal with it. So I was like, ah, fuck it. I'll come back next week.
Wow.
Maybe we should just never check it again.
Just be full of stuff.
Yeah, just full of stuff.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So the Andy that this guy is referring to is Andrew Richard Newman. He's from California.
Oh, God. He's probably like on Bumble. Like I've probably matched with him.
In high school, he was in a band called the Bombers.
The Chimney Sweeps.
No, the Chimney Sweeps.
Oh, God.
He became a nomad and had various criminal charges against him, including for assaulting a police officer, disorderly intoxication, grand theft, and battery.
Jesus.
And Andy moved to New Mexico in 2009, a year after Joshua went missing. Months later, Andy was taken into custody after he was reported wandering around Texas County, knocking on doors, asking for water and food. And after processing his fingerprints through the system, it was revealed that he was wanted for the stabbing in New Mexico and also burglary in Washington. He has a criminal record in at least 6 states. So he's a straight up criminal.
Jesus.
He also confessed to killing a woman, stuffing her in a barrel, And so, yeah, the police had already arrested someone for the woman's murder and they decided to charge that person instead of Andy.
My God.
And it's believed that Andy currently is in a mental institution. Those were the Kurd's last known whereabouts. Okay, so some theories. The police decided that he had tried to break into the cabin through the chimney. He couldn't pass the barricade and tried to climb back out. So they're saying there was a barricade in the bottom of the chimney.
Oh.
The grate. So he went down and was like, oh shit, there's a grate down here. And then tried to get out and got stuck. Ugh.
But that doesn't make sense because, like, as we were talking before, why wouldn't he try to go through a window or a door?
Right.
Like,
seems extreme.
What's the correlation with him needing to get in this cabin?
There is none.
Did he know the Big Bird guy?
Big Bird? No, the cabin had been abandoned. I mean, there was an owner, but no one had been in it for a decade. Like a storage. Like, no one was really... It might have just been a place he hung out at or something. Right. Maybe he smoked some weed or something.
I read on a Reddit thread just now that there's some theories that's kind of correlated to this, that people thought maybe it was a dare or something, like break into this cabin.
Yeah,
this abandoned possible. Cabin. So, like, to answer your question, Maria, like, maybe he was breaking into this cabin or wanted to get into this cabin because it was some sort of, like, dare. Or maybe this just crossed through my head. Maybe his brother used to go there secretly to, like, do drugs or something.
Oh, yeah, brother that killed himself.
Yeah, and maybe he just wanted to visit to, like, pay homage to his brother or something. Yeah. Maybe his family didn't know that his brother used to go there to kind of, like, escape, and now he wanted to go there. I don't know.
Another theory is that he was with this Andy guy inside the cabin, and Andy made him take off his clothes and forced him into the chimney from the bottom, and then the bar counter was used as a barricade. Like, Andy was like, take off your clothes, go in the chimney, and then he pushed up whatever was barricading the fireplace to get him stuck in there. And then there possibly was that rebar on top, so he was just kind of, like, stuck. And then another theory is that he came in through the top. So he got to the chimney through the top and got stuck while he was climbing down, so he tried to go back up through the top, but this means he has to pull himself up.
Oof.
So while he was trying to do this, his shoes and pants came off and his socks.
But if something was barricading the entrance to the chimney at the bottom of the chimney, then how would he get his clothes inside the cabin?
We don't know if there was. The owner says he put one there, but they didn't know if they found one.
But that was at the top, I thought. He said there was the rebar. But didn't you say there was something that had been pushed?
Well,
up
that's
against
the theory
chimney?
Is that there was rebar in the bottom or on the top.
Oh, well, that, I mean, like, what Maria's saying is, like, you're right. Like, that means there definitely wasn't at the bottom. For that one theory, if he took off his clothes and dropped them down, if there was a rebar there, then, like, it would have caught the clothes. So, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't think there was a rebar anywhere in there. That's kind of what I think. So he was trying to climb back up, but he didn't have the strength to pull himself the rest of the way up. And after a while, he couldn't hold himself upright any longer. And he got stuck in the fetal position with his knees raised above his head. Like, he was trying to hold himself. He just kind of, like, crumbled.
Oof.
So his clothes being found near the fireplace, but not directly underneath, could be explained by animals moving things around.
Huh.
The shoes could have bounced out of the fireplace when they hit the ground. And the owner came back at some point and shoved a table in front of the fireplace because he noticed that animals were still getting inside. So maybe the owner was like, oh, weird, there might be animals getting inside, so I'm going to push this up against the fireplace just so no more animals get inside while Joshua was in there. Because the shoes, like a shoe was there, or like a sock was down there. And he's like, oh, weird, animals must have. And then also paradoxical undressing from hypothermia.
I was thinking that. But why would he keep on his thermal? Oh, I guess maybe he couldn't get it off.
Couldn't get it off. And then another theory is that maybe he had some sort of sexual encounter with Andy. And then Andy tried to kill him and Joshua escaped up the chimney.
Maybe.
But then there's the Grinch theory.
No.
Oh, I'm listening.
What is
that? So remember in How the Grinch Stole Christmas, when the Grinch was climbing down that chimney in Whoville and his feet started moving slower than his body? And he got bunched up?
I don't recall.
I haven't actually ever seen that movie.
We're not Grinch heads like you.
But I believe you.
His body goes faster and his feet get kind of stuck. And he gets like, he's in the fetal position. He's like wedged in there.
Okay.
That's like an actual way you can get stuck in a chimney and die.
Well, I'm never going to go in a chimney.
Well, don't. So back in the 18th and 19th century in Britain, people hired chimney sweeps who had these apprentices or climbing boys who did most of the work for them.
Wow.
So climbing boys were frequently orphans and as young as 3 years old.
What?
Small size was a requirement for chimney sweeps.
Can you even walk at three? I don't understand.
Yes,
children.
I think you can, Allie. I think you definitely
you can walk
be
at three.
To.
Oh my God.
So for that reason, many climbing boys outgrew their job by the time they were 9 or 10. And in order to stay a chimney sweep longer, master chimney sweeps often underfed their climbing boys so they could continue to maneuver up and down the stacks that were oftentimes no larger than a mere 7 square inches.
No joke, the 1800s were crazy. Like, yeah. If I had a time machine and got no sent joke. Back to the 1800s, like, it would be my worst nightmare. Like, it was so dirty. There was diseases everywhere. Like,
people were dying at 30.
Yeah, like, if you were not the richest of the rich, life was absolutely shit for you. It's mm-hmm. crazy.
Unless you lived in, like, the country, if you lived in, like, a really nice manor house or something.
Well, right, that's what I'm saying, if you were rich. But, like, otherwise, it was, like, you had 8 kids, you were all starving, you were, like, eating, splitting one piece of bread for dinner, and then...
Your four-year-old was a chimney sweep.
Your four-year-old was a chimney sweep, and then your other kids, you were probably selling them to the orphan house because you couldn't afford and you needed the money. Like, it's crazy.
Wow. Selling your kids to the orphan house.
Selling them to the orphan house.
And then, like, we learned in the female serial killer episode, then, like, maybe they were being killed. Yeah. And then, yes. Shit's wild.
It's wild.
It's crazy. Shit is wild.
I think London,
we're lucky to be alive now.
Like, London before, like, 1950 was, like, pretty intense.
You know what I realized is that I was thinking about London, too. I'm pretty sure the 1800s only existed in London.
Yeah, they didn't exist here. I don't know.
No.
America was invented in 1980.
We were watching Wizard of Oz, and you know the beginnings in black and white.
Uh-huh.
And I asked my mom so earnestly, I was like, when was color invented? Like, I thought the world was black and white until one day someone invented
what
color.
Have you believe? That's what the media would have you believe.
Exactly. Yeah, the liberal media.
The world was in black and white.
Yeah.
Okay, so these chimney boys, so their job was to climb from the fireplace up the stack until they came out the top, and as they moved along, they would, like, clean the soot with the brushes and scrapers. Oh my God, chimney sweeps were the persons who encouraged the climbing boy to go up the stack. They sometimes accomplished this by prodding or even lighting a fire under the climbing boy's feet, which would force him up the stack.
Oh my God.
It was crazy. So there's this diagram that I found in Mechanics.
Wow, I love diagrams.
Mechanics Magazine from 1834. There's a diagram about chimney sweeping, and it shows the proper way for a kid to climb up a chimney. One kid is upright with his knees slightly bent, which is the proper way. And then another kid is upright, but he has his knees up to his abdomen, like the fetal position, and he can't move. And this can cause positional asphyxia, which is a condition where the way your body is contorted prevents the normal in and out motions of breathing. You can't move your diaphragm, and that can cause you to die from lack of oxygen. Like, the proper way is to, like, keep your body upright with your knees slightly bent, because if your knees come up any higher, you're going to get stuck in the chimney. And so that's possibly what happened with Joshua.
Jesus. I can't wait to give this diagram to my kids one day.
Stay out of chimneys.
A rope down? Like, why couldn't these climbing boys just, like, climb a rope up the chimney?
And then just go, like, straight vertically down? Like, Mission Impossible, just, like, straight down?
No, but just, like,
you'd think,
like, up like this, like, climb a rope, like, in gym class.
Yeah, right?
I think it's, like, a width issue. Like, I think it's not, I don't think,
well,
it's
why
the...
Why are chimneys so small? Like...
Yeah, they should make them for humans.
Yes.
And then when I was looking at chimney deaths, I found this Vice article about people who got stuck in chimneys and died. It's a lot of people. A lot of people get stuck in chimneys and die.
The square footage of a chimney is only 2 square feet.
It's so small.
That needs to change. This is ridiculous. There's no reason why.
This should be our new cause.
Widen chimneys. The web crawlers, let's widen chimneys.
Should we do a change.org petition to widen chimneys for chimney sweeps?
Yeah.
I don't know if chimney sweeps are a thing anymore.
Well, just wait till I have a 3-year-old and then you'll reconsider that statement.
All right. Let's get you up the chimney.
So I think there's two possibilities. I think that the reason his clothes, his pants and socks and shoes are inside the house is because he took them off because he got stuck going down the chimney. I think he was trying to break in by going down the chimney, not because it was like easier, just because it was like something to do. And then he got stuck and then he tried to get out and he's like, well, maybe if I take off my clothes, I'll be able to like slide down easier. That kind of makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, maybe. Oh my God. Died recently, like a few months ago in a chimney. A 14-year-old boy died after being trapped in a chimney where his lungs were unable to expand and contract.
Right. That's called positional asphyxia.
Yeah. Harley Dilly, December 20th, died in Ohio. They first found Harley's glasses and coat next to the brick chimney, and then they peered inside and found his body.
Why were his clothes off?
I don't know. This is
Was he trying to climb up or down? Or like that Andy kid was like, I dare you to climb down this chimney. Like they were just like fucking around.
Yeah, I think he must have been maybe with this like Andy kid there. He was maybe like, hey, it's a day before your birthday. Let's like go hang out or like do something weird. And then he said, hey, I dare you to climb down the chimney. And then he did and got stuck. Although I'm still really confused about and then I guess there was no grate at the bottom. And then he took off his clothes. Maybe for paradoxical undressing, or he was hoping that maybe if he started to get undressed, it might make it easier to climb down.
But what would that Andy kid not call the police or call for help? That's why I'm like, did he just leave him there? Or like,
well, maybe Andy had done some other fucked up stuff. Right. Like maybe Andy had like killed someone, or maybe Andy had a rap sheet and he was like, I don't want to call the cops because they'll arrest me for something else. But still, this is so weird.
It doesn't make sense. Like nothing makes sense.
I do not get it. If you guys have any theories, your theories? This is so strange. Melissa, where can people reach us?
You can email us at webcrawlerspod@gmail.com.
Yes, please. Anyways, I am Allie, London in the 1800s Seagull.
And I'm Melissa. I'm a chimney sweep, Stetton.
And I'm Maria Bad News Andy Blasucci.
Bad News Andy. Okay, adios.
Bye.
An Erios Original.
Powered by Acast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.